This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Let's go.
A big winner.
Let's go.
All right. Here we go.
Take that, Trudeau.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, what?
Who is the big guy? Ford?
He's dead now.
Yeah,
Rob Ford, he
rest
died.
In peace.
Yeah, Rob Ford died.
He was a lot of fun for like 6 months. He was like Lynn Sanity. For 6 months, he was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, fun and bizarre at the same time.
Sure, fun if you're on the outside, if you're probably next to him.
Some of those press conferences that just seem to come about out of nowhere.
And oh, they were amazing.
All the other things. It's time to flip the switch.
One game in. Why not? No.
I'm watching Kenny Atkinson look pretty cool and calm and collected yesterday.
A perfect set of teeth that man has, by the way.
I'm seeing him get up and down the floor.
You notice
great
those,
for
Kenny?
Eating foie gras.
I did not.
Perfection. Oh, that's right.
Are you saying that there was work done?
I am not alleging anything of the sort. I'm saying I'm very envious.
It sounds like you're alleging.
I'm sure. If those are natural, I'm very, very jealous. Those are terrific. Terrific, as they say, legal term, chompers. They are perfect.
Teefers, if you will. We're really getting to the nitty gritty of the basketball
well,
here,
what's
don't
the
we?
Breakdown? Evan Mobley made the leap. That happened overnight. So that's
well, hold
we're
on,
done debating that.
For 82
you are,
and 0 right
you
now.
Are killing my questions he's that
top,
I wanted to ask
he's
you.
He's a top 15 player in the league.
You are
done.
Murdering my questions in the road.
Check that one off.
That I wanted to ask you. Stop it. Hold on. One by one here. Is it time to flip the switch?
Well, Kenny, I...
That's a no. Okay.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
All right.
We were down in the dumps over the abruptness of the ending of the Guardians season.
Yeah.
Boy, does it happen quick in that sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's over. The football season, I mean, we'll have news to address today about some changes within the setup.
6:40, we will talk about the play calling change. Also, later on, Shelby Harris says the fans, or excuse me, you've lost the players.
Yes. The dog pound.
Yeah. We've lost the players.
So,
if we've lost the players, we've lost them all.
So we have that going on. We have a fan versus player tit for tat that's been going on all week. That's
awesome.
Great. That's what you want.
Outstanding.
So what's left? What's left to save us? It's this team that kicked the ass of the Toronto Raptors yesterday.
The wine and gold save us.
Yes.
The orange and blue deliver
they,
tone.
Always, whatever colors they're going with that night. And there will be plenty of them. Did you see the, what were those Carolina blue uniforms that they're going to be wearing at some point this year? Basically every color. No matter what it is on the scale.
Guys, Brad Doherty is a part of the group. Can you not learn from NASCAR? I think that is part of the problem. If I can take a quick right turn here.
Go ahead.
Are you going to make your joke, or can I move on with that? Okay, fine. Okay.
I think it writes itself.
Okay, thank you. So let me make a quick right turn, is that part of the problem, I think, with that is, all right, when you think of Jeff Gordon, what do you think of?
The number six.
All right. This was a terrible, terrible enterprise. Just forget it.
DuPont.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me out to make it. Thank you for not busting my balls to the finest degree where you can actually help me make a point for once in your life.
That's right. The movie.
There's branding that's involved.
And
when you have to throw a different bunch of brands out there and a different bunch of colors, it's harder to recognize the people that are there. And so when you throw a bunch of different colors that have never really historically had anything to do with your franchise, yeah, it's going to throw some people off. And I think it's harder to recognize your superstars and everything there. That's my point. Judas Priest.
It's well taken.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Evan Mobley made the leap. So what are you waiting for? Let's go. What else is there to debate?
Well,
did you see?
So I flipped the switch on him.
Did you see the first play of the game? I don't think you needed to watch much more than the first play of the game.
He made the leap. All the switches.
He went at Scotty Barnes. Didn't Scotty Barnes win Rookie of the Year over him?
You can't just flip.
Yes, he did.
Did you see what he did to him on the first play of the game?
Just flip it. Scotty Barnes was terrible.
Why'd you ask if you can't just do it?
He's got to be the keeper of the switch. He's got to be the keeper.
He's being a little low.
I'm an excitable
boy. Loosey-goosey with the switch right now.
I'm an excitable boy.
Is that those Raptors purple uniforms?
No, I didn't. I don't like the purple. Are those new seats? Or do I just notice that?
They might have. I see Trudeau's wearing purple face there in the front row.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I did.
Come on.
Yeah, I did. We're moving on.
That would have gotten great reaction.
We're moving on.
It got a reaction out of me.
Yeah, it did.
It was.
So
hey,
Evan Mobley.
Who are you talking to at 10:03?
Was asked yesterday. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I got things to do. I got a doctor's appointment later on. We're not doing this. Evan Mobley was asked yesterday after the game after he was fantastic. He was just fantastic in this game. And my whole thought is this year he takes the lead? Is this the way he does it? Because Evan Mobley had 25 last night. He had 19 in the first half, for crying out loud. He was great.
He dominated. He flat out looked like a guy that is playing against a bunch of inferior opponents, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's when you know you're good.
Use that word because he was asked about dominating this game.
We just try to go out there and really just play our game. We've been practicing this way. We just try to go out there and do what we're capable of.
Did they send a message to the rest of the NBA last night?
We're here. We're ready to go really far this year, and that's the main focus, is to get better every year.
Here you go. Thoughts, Tone?
I think that's exactly what it looked like. This game was over in the second quarter. The Raptors are one of the worst five teams in the league, and so I wanted us to take command. We didn't really talk about this game much yesterday because I kind of thought it could look like this and kind of look like a glorified scrimmage, and that's what it was. The Cavs are so much more dominant.
Excuse me, audio courtesy of FanDuel Sports Network.
That Raptors team, especially, they don't have R.J. Barrett in the starting lineup. I don't think it would have made that much of a difference, and quickly went out with that injury when Garland got underneath him. That was it. I mean, they had no chance. That game was over, and it was beautiful to see. And I know a lot of people are immediately, Bickerstaff could have never. No, I mean, they had blowout wins under Bickerstaff, too. They had great nights. Yesterday, they got a different star in Evan Mobley. He was not a star for the Cavs. Forget about, defensively, my God, he was unbelievable. But it's year four. Ho-hum. We're used to seeing him play like one of the best defensive players. Offensively is what we're really getting, we're really scrutinizing. We're really looking into it to see where the gains are. And he looked more confident with the ball. His spin move, he used it like four different times. And it wasn't just, I'm going to spin, but the defender will just get in position on the spin move and anticipate my next move and be there before me, and then there'll be just all sorts of contact. No, his spin move was leading to drop step dunks, easy opportunities, clearing away the defender to where they're not even in the picture. That's what happened on the very first play of the game. That was awesome.
Here is Kenny Atkinson yesterday on Mobley and getting him the ball and making sure that he's able to score with the basketball.
He's got great speed. First of all, for a big man. So he handles the ball much better than I thought. So you get him on the move, whether you set a pick for him or whether he gets it in space, he's really, really pretty good at breaking guys down and getting by guys. So they were really tight on him at first. They knew that was the key, try to muscle him. But once he gets space, once we got him the ball early, got him in transition, he really made things happen.
Is it up to the Cavs to pick up the city's morale now?
And I think they're going to have to, right? They're going to have to, considering the state of affairs that we're in today. I mean, it was an awesome Guardian season, and we had all-time playoff moments, all-time, that will stand the test of time. Even in the Detroit series, the fifth game, incredible. We're going to remember that forever. Uh-huh. But the way it ends, it's always heartbreak. It always ends, even in a five-game series where you lose four of the games. Every game was close. Like, it sucks. You need a pick-me-up. And I think the Cavs are going to be just that. I know there are a lot of people around the NBA and a lot of people here that don't know that just running it back is ever going to lead to them getting further in the playoffs. But what it will do is they have cohesiveness, even with a new coach. They know how to play together. They obviously, for the most part, like each other. And I don't know, did the chain make it to Canada, or is that Detroit?
Are they doing the chain again, or what are we doing? Because remember, it was an officially sponsored thing. So did they find something else to sponsor?
When it first started, it was. I don't think it was last year.
Ironically,
it was just their own volition.
Get rid of it. Find something else.
Ironically, did you see
or don't do anything at all.
As a quick aside, did you see there's a bit of a dress code in Detroit now? And part of it is no jewelry. And I'm like, oh.
No jewelry.
That's interesting because the chain was the most jewelry possible. It was the biggest jewelry.
Is JB's rule.
Supposedly there was some reporting a couple of weeks ago about how he wants guys to look.
And I thought, you're not allowed to wear jewelry?
Are you not allowed to wear, let them know, chains?
You had one of the most gaudy chains I've ever seen in my life. Like, the Flava Flav thought it was too much. And now they're not allowed to wear jewelry. Sometimes there's overcorrection.
That's what they're doing over in Detroit.
Sometimes there's overcorrection.
Flava Flav still smashing that guitar,
okay,
by the way.
It says
was 15 chances.
No jewelry or hoodies at practice. So maybe they're just, okay, they're not allowed to wear it at practice.
Okay, but where do you think the let them know medallion was going?
Well, they weren't wearing it while they were doing
cone
drills.
They were bringing it with them everywhere.
While they were running shuttles, they weren't doing that. What are some of the other drills Paul Force gives you?
Be quick, but don't hurry. Oh, that's John Wooden.
You know, I thought of that all myself one time. I swear to God. And I was like, John Wooden said that? I go, I had to have heard it from John Wooden at some point.
He said a lot of things.
Yeah, he said a lot of things. Including, hey, don't look over there. We don't need to worry about that.
I'm watching the post-locker room little speech here. Yeah. I do not see a chain. I do see Kenny Atkinson dancing. We will get that audio in.
Kenny's dancing.
Oh, Kenny's dancing.
Oh, he is dancing. Oh, boy. He looks okay.
Think of all the moves he learned while he was in France all summer.
But I think this kind of signifies how important the regular season is or isn't to some people. Now, I made the argument yesterday, and I think some people are going to look at me and say, well, you're a sports talk host, and you just want it to be interesting, so you have something to talk about. Well, yeah, part of that is true. I'd like people to be interested in one of the three main sports we have here. I think that'd be nice. But the other part of it is that you're trying to get some things figured out here. Because the pressure is on. It wasn't on last night because it's opening night. You're playing Toronto, and Toronto's not that good, even though some bad things have always happened to you up there in Toronto, it seems. I mean, even going back to Kevin Love's hissy fit he had years ago. But for this team, in figuring out what their lineup's going to be and really who they keep and who they might let go halfway through the year, if you get to, like, I think the opening salvo for all this conversation really starts next weekend when you have the back-to-back against Milwaukee.
Yeah, it'd be a nice
challenge.
And
you start to see where you stack up in the Eastern Conference. I guess you could bring up the Knicks earlier next week if you want to, but I'm really looking to the games against Milwaukee in the back-to-back and whether or not you're going to be or the home-and-home, I should say, whether or not you're going to be a really you start to have that conversation about being a competitive team, and then you start to figure out, all right, will this guy work? Will this guy not work? Are we having brutal arguments about it in early November? No, but I think some things get planted in the back of your head that come to the forefront by the time February comes around.
I think for the psyche of this fan base, we know the Cavs are going to win. Their total win total on the year is 48.5. Vegas is expecting you to be right around 50 wins. I expect them to be right around 50 wins. And if everything goes right, I mean, my God, if that's the Evan Mobley you get all year, you're going to win more than 50 games. Holy cow. So this team is going to be a lot of fun. The home games, I mean, it's just nothing beats going to those games when they are playing like this and having fun. And you got Donovan Mitchell. I mean, that's the thing. I'm watching last night with the ball in Evan Mobley's hands. I'm like, oh, yeah, we've got Donovan Mitchell. Donovan is just deferring. He's just deferring because he knows the bigger picture is that as Evan Mobley goes, if he hits this next phase of his career, this next act. As he goes, that allows Donovan and everybody else to really feast. And I know Darius was off last night, but you're seeing the looks that these guys are getting. It all starts when you've got a big man who can handle the ball a little better, and that was something I was looking for. Is he? How's that dribble? How's that handle? If he's doing that, then everything slides into place and is so much easier.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
What an unbelievable way to start out the season for your wine and gold, orange and blue, pink and yellow. The Cavaliers. Unstoppable last night in a dominant performance where Evan Mobley led the way. Not only that, Kenny, in a 136-106 win. You didn't have Max Strus, and Darius Garland was terrible in this game. And no, I'm not alarmed. I know some people were already looking for something because it was a 30-point win. There wasn't much to chew when it came to that game. I'm not worried about Darius Garland in that game. It's, you know, it's a bad game.
When do you worry about Darius Garland then?
Oh, that's maybe a month in if we're...
All right, just want to make sure you're on the record.
How can it be a bad season opener for Darius Garland when he made it through the whole game?
I just want to make...
time in
that's true. I just want to make sure you're on the record.
That's true. That's a good point.
He usually does not make it through the opener. He gets punched in the face or drop kicked. Or...
He's had some really dastardly things happen. But no, didn't get knocked in the face at all. I know he had 1 of 6 from 3 and 3 of 12. But Evan Mobley stole the show. He's 9 of 14. He also took a couple of threes. The form looked good. He made one of them. And 6 of 6 from the free throw line. As much as we talk about threes, getting to the free throw line for Evan Mobley, and that stroke looked perfect from the free throw line, that's awesome to see. Because if it's just a bunch of whirling dervishes from Evan and where defenses aren't really all that worried about him, and if he gets 2 points at a time, so be it. Defenses will give that up. And the occasional wide open three. But if he is imposing his will and getting to the charity stripe, I think that is absolutely big. And so he led the way with 25 points. And Kenny Atkinson, after the game, typically used to maybe Donovan Mitchell leading the team in scoring, he was asked, are you comfortable if it's Evan Mobley instead?
I think if you ask Donovan, Darius, I think we know there's a real intention to get him the ball. It doesn't happen if, you know, the other guys around him aren't willing to do it. They know how important he is. They know they need to, we all need to elevate him.
They staggered the minutes last night, which is something Atkinson immediately said when he came in. We are not going to have lineups of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley extensively. Like, there will be some times, obviously, depending on the matchup. But last night, you could see, you want to talk about intentionality, which is...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Big term that Kenny Atkinson uses. That's one of them, staggering those lineups so that Evan Mobley has what? Room to maneuver. He can go from the three-point line when once he shores up that handle and get all the way to the basket, and there's not another seven-footer clogging the lane. And that was something that I think all of us were begging J.B. Bickerstaff to try to find a way to do it.
You know who else you noticed? Or may not have noticed?
Who's that?
Young man named Ty Jerome.
He was out there.
19 minutes, 14 points. Handicap of three.
I was going to ask if your snide remarks would come to an end. They clearly have not.
No, they haven't.
I saw one of my buddies referred to him as maybe a smaller version of George Niang. He's not going to crush you with the athleticism. But he looked like he was a bit of a steadying force out there. Did you?
Wasn't playing cart path only. Looked pretty good out
there. This time of year, it's tough. And the debate about what you do with a golf ball. It's really hard to find that golf ball with the leaves on the ground.
Oh, it's true. That's why you have to clean the golf ball. It has to be sterling white.
Every time. Jared Allen had 14 points and 7 boards. And Donovan Mitchell just was like, whatever. I'll shoot, I guess. 21 points, 7 of 14. I'll be efficient if you want me to. But I thought it was really interesting how the focal point was Evan Mobley, and they never really deviated away from that.
Nope. I like that. Get some involved. Get some confident. Get some going in the offense.
I don't need a 50-point Donovan Mitchell night on the opener.
On opening night,
Let's save that for April.
Against the Toronto Raptors?
Yeah. No. And I mean, that is one of the things I've been worried about over the last few years. Like, are they going to totally overuse? I mean, it's such a long season. And Donovan Mitchell, I need him to be at his peak come playoff time. I'm not really worried about Donovan Mitchell in the regular season.
Were we wasting our time with J.B. Bickerstaff? 216-474 to below 92.
No, I'll stick up for J.B. in a lot of ways. I think he was a...
Name four.
I thought he was a perfect coach for that stage of where they were.
Okay.
And I think the defensive identity that he forged was really big. I think that, honestly, for Evan Mobley defensively... to be who he was on a lot of bad young teams, defense is just a foregone conclusion. So Evan Mobley to make sure every possession mattered defensively, I thought that was key.
It's only three.
A fourth? What would be the fourth? He complained at officials a lot.
That wasn't a good thing, though.
Lozenge sells way up.
Yeah. Lozenges, yeah.
That's
Lozenges.
Right. That's right. Yeah, his voice would be gone a week into the season.
Okay, that's four. Well done.
I think a lot of our local fans love that he bitched at refs. Like, finally, someone's willing to stick up for Cleveland.
Nah, I got a little annoyed with it after a while.
Yeah, because that was
I think it started
all
to have
he
the,
did.
Yeah, I thought it, yeah. And then I started to think it had the opposite effect of what you would want. Yes.
Yeah. All right, meanwhile, the Cleveland Browns made a pretty big decision yesterday when it came to who was going to call the plays.
I'm going to have Ken call the plays this week. Moving forward, that's the plan. I've told you guys before, we have a very, very collaborative process in how we work, both during the week and on game day. So I will continue to assist Ken in the offense as we game plan, as we get into the game. I have total confidence in Coach Dorsett and the offensive staff.
So you've got
to remove that Doris part of it, and then I get to make jokes about it. See, it's cheap radio. That's what we get to do.
You've lost Watson, and you've lost Kevin Stefanski as the play caller, something that I thought he was really, really good at. We'll have plenty more to say on this coming up in
6:40. Absolutely.
Also, Jameis Winston, your starter. It is now official for this week, and he is absolutely grateful for the opportunity.
I'm extremely grateful to have yet another opportunity to do what the Lord has called me to do in the NFL, and that's be a starting NFL quarterback. I'm beyond grateful for this. I am prepared, and I will do my very best.
So Jameis has been, a great quote so far this year. I know some fans are a little annoyed with him that they thought he was offering a blanket assessment of what all the fans were doing when Watson went down with the injury. But as far as a football player, we haven't seen a lot of Jameis Winston as a starter for a while.
No.
So we know that he is going to throw it and he's going to take chances and he is also going to turn the ball over. But do you think there is a chance, regardless of who's calling the plays, do you think there is a chance that they can recapture some of the Flacco magic with Jameis Winston?
That's hard to do. That's just so hard to do. And Joe, I don't think, was very good at holding on to the football or protecting the football. So I'm not going to make that argument there. It's just to have that hot of a hand at that moment, it's very, very difficult to do. I think that that's an unrealistic thing. And this might be a different look for them. They were still a team. They were a competitive team when Joe Flacco had taken over. There was a lot of things where the ball bounced your way. The turnover margins were going against you, but you would still get the right things that happened for you. This year's just different. You're 1-6. I hope it goes better. I hope that it's different. But I can't expect that to happen 2 years in a row. No, you're so much sloppier than you were last year, too. As a football team, not just at the quarterback position, Lord.
Well, and the fact that that was a month, a little over a month, that Flacco went on that run. This is a season. I mean, there's only seven games. Oh, it feels like it's been a long season already. You still have so many football games. So he does get to start out with a couple home games to kick things off, and that could help. And I don't know. They're going to be booing him the way they were booing Deshaun Watson?
No, they'll cheer him.
Right?
They'll cheer him.
I mean, I guess unless he's terrible, then they'll be booing the whole offense, really.
Yeah,
but
they will boo.
But I don't know. This gets very interesting because here's what I want to know. And I've been down on Jerry Jeudy, obviously. And it seems like even the coaching staff's been down on Elijah Moore, hence him getting suspended for a couple of quarters.
I was going to say, that not a full one.
Yeah. So is there a chance Jerry Jeudy, who's been open, we've seen plenty of videos of being open, now can show the production of what he's getting paid with Jameis Winston? Is that going to be possible? Because Deshaun was not really looking at any other levels on the field except what was right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
He was not, and that you could see the frustration in guys like Jeudy and Elijah Moore. You could see that frustration.
It was easy. He threw his helmet. That's how frustrated he was. So yeah, it's easy to see Jerry Jeudy being frustrated there. Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to say it. I mean, he's going to put the ball in the air, and he's going to be looking at Jerry Jeudy first. So yeah, there should be some sort of, hopefully, a repertoire between them, a rapport, I should say, between them both, that they'd be able to move down the field and be able to win a football game here. But he's a stand and deliver quarterback. Hopefully, he'll be able to stand and deliver with Jerry Jeudy. I can't guarantee any of this stuff. I can't. I don't want to fill up anybody's hopes. I just see it for what it is. It's a team that's struggling. It's a team that right now is changing out their offense, which we'll talk a little bit more coming up here in a few minutes. It's a team that right now I feel is at a crossroads, not just in a season, but as a franchise.
Wyatt Teller got news that he was going to be back on the practice field. So could that help that offensive line? That's it for about last
night. Anything right now will help that offensive line. If you said Joe Thomas were to come back right now and be on that practice field, it would help out the offensive line. It seems that everybody's helping except for the football coach who's supposed to be in charge of them. Is he world class? Kevin Stefanski? Or wait, Ken Dorsey, beg your pardon. Is he world class?
Yeah, I don't know that his career backs that up.
Well, he is one of a very few that are able to be an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Think about that. Still only 32 jobs, unless you have like co-offensive coordinators and, you know, whatever. But still only around 30 plus.
But all those
jobs. That's a pretty exclusive group.
All those jobs are in the United States. So that to me makes more of a national class.
They don't have in the German football league that Joe was in. They don't have offensive
coordinators. Are we not the best in the world at what we do when it comes to football?
We should play that.
In this country? Our country?
Well, we're the only ones that really do it.
Okay, so that makes us the best at it.
So I imagine, like, we used to
I don't make the best Belgian waffles. I'm not from Belgium.
Well, we used to say that about...
But you do fly them in daily.
We fly them in daily.
We used to say that about NBA players, and then we realized, oh, my God, there's this whole continent of Africa, and now they're playing basketball, and for 20 years they've been playing basketball, and now they're taking over the NBA. So maybe that would happen in the NFL. I don't know.
You don't say. Well, it's still going to take a little bit of time,
doesn't it? It would take time, yes.
Okay, so as of right now, he's still world class. Ken Dorsey is still world class. Your initial thoughts when I first heard it, I'll tell you my initial thoughts first. Mm-hmm. Usually I let you say yours.
Go ahead.
Let me just give you mine. My heart fell right through the floor. my heart felt right through the floor. I looked at my phone. I went, oh, no. No. And you're going to bring up a point here, and I'm going to want to go with you. Tell me that this isn't history repeating itself, and tell me that we're not going to go down this road again. I'm praying. I'm hoping. Tell me this isn't it. Don't do this. Don't do this. And if you do it, don't just make him a scapegoat. Don't do that. Now, I understand that Jimmy Haslam and the ownership, they want something stable. But I'm not just keeping stability for stability. Now, I've said it a million times. You put me on the spot yesterday to say it again. And I've said it a million times. Now, we talk about who's got to pay the fiddler for this, for what this season is and the albatross that the quarterback's contract is and Brown's prison and the whole thing. And I've said, and you can, and the worst part about this is I'll be saying this till kingdom come, because nothing's ever going to make it change. Because if they were to move on from Andrew Berry and Paul DeBodesta, they're not going to come out and say, oh yeah, they talked us into it. They're not going to do that. That doesn't make them look like great ownership. And then you will have insiders, oh yeah, it's on the owner. What are the owners going to do? Deny it? Nope, they're not going to deny it. They're going to move forward. They're going to try to move forward in whatever positive direction they can. So what I say here will never truly 100% be confirmed. I can only tell you from what I know in my heart, from what I've heard from several folks, which would have it on very, very, very underlying good authority. And Lima's the same way. That to start all this was not the ownership's idea. That they love the former quarterback. Now, there were things that the former quarterback has admitted to and his own immaturity. He said it, not me, that started to lead them down that path as well. It's easy to have that thought and to have that sight when things are going so well for you. But this is what this all is. This is an answer, or the beginning of an answer, not this season at 1-6 and the offense not being able to put up 20 points a game. Not just that. This is the answer for what's happened over the last 3.5 years. That's what's been going on here. And so now is the beginning. Yesterday, to me, was the beginning of the end of the era, and I started to begin to think, all right, if we're going to go down this road, and at the end of the season, we're talking about new people, he can't be the only one that answers for it. Because out of all of it, it's like, hey, I've seen him with good quarterbacks in the past, and the offense last year, they're pretty good. If you were to put him back in that spot, you might be able to talk me into trusting him. When it comes to the draft picks, guys, I'm sorry. I can't, right now, I can't trust the person making the draft picks. I like him personally. I think he's a good guy. I can't trust him making the draft picks unless this thing starts to turn around and Ken Dorsey ends up being the right one. And then these guys start to take fruition and these players that have been drafted start to really work. Until then, that's a flimsy argument. No. Sorry, I've said my case.
Well, that's all.
It makes me nervous.
That's all. Yeah.
Off you go.
It makes no sense to me.
Maybe there's no reason to be nervous. They are 1-6. Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
It makes sense to me. Like, if you were to poll the rest of the NFL, people that know this kind of stuff, who's a better offensive play caller, Kevin Stefanski or Ken Dorsey, it would be unanimous. It would be Kevin Stefanski.
Why is he giving up the play calling duties to Ken Dorsey? Why would he give it up to somebody who isn't as good as him?
Yeah, so obviously it makes no sense. So it would be either it's been dictated. Either he's been told it has to happen.
Which makes it even worse.
Which would be really bad. Or it's Kevin Stefanski throwing up his hands in the air and saying, we've tried everything else, let's try this. But it makes no sense because you've tried everything else with Deshaun Watson, the one guy who, I don't know what it matters. Would it matter if a guy is only making the first read, if a guy is, you know, walking himself into sacks, if a guy is incapable of seeing down the field while he's escaping the pocket? If that guy has no confidence, has some of the worst accuracy rates in a clean pocket in the NFL, like all those things, it seems like the Deshaun Watson part of it is what you had to change. Well, now you've changed it. Why are you going with another variable? Why are you trying to mix two different things at the same time? Not only are we changing the quarterback, but we're also changing the play caller. But we're also going to change the uniforms. Let's also get in 5 new wide receivers. Like, at some point, I'd like to know what the problem was. And now I feel like we haven't done a very good job of trying to isolate that. But with all of that said, with everything you said and everything I said, what do we do if this actually works? What do we do if Ken Dorsey and Jameis Winston actually take this offense to another level?
Define work.
What if they start winning games? What if they look like competent NFL offense?
Then you're going to be really mad at the head coach, and maybe I will too. You'll be mad at the head coach
for replacing Watson earlier.
No, for not replacing himself earlier. Then,
see, I think it'd be a Watson thing to me. I think it would be so clearly a Watson thing. Because think about when it comes to play calling. Hold on. When it comes to play calling, they're just calling the plays that they have worked all week on. Right? They're not. It's not. I have said this for years, and Kevin Stefanski said it too, which is why I've always wondered why it makes such a difference at all in who calls the plays. But most people in the league think play calling is wildly overrated. They think it's wildly overrated. It's the stuff they worked on all week that they demonstrated that they want to keep in the playbook. We've had how many people tell us that? Like, they're not keeping in stuff that they didn't practice well.
I don't think it's going to matter. I think if it starts to work, you're
But I'm asking what if it does. But I'm asking what if it does.
And I'm telling you what's going to happen is that people are going to be mad at Kevin Stefanski for not giving up the play calling earlier. And there's going to be an argument again for Deshaun Watson. Well, is it the play calling then that was the problem? And I can give you all the evidence in the world and talk about 2023, but you can switch out head coaches and you can switch out ideals. You can't switch out that contract
right now. You think right now that...
No, I don't. Hold on. I'm just telling you the argument.
You think people would say if Jameis lights up the scoreboard all of a sudden and it looks anything like Joe Flacco last year, you think people will use that as an argument to get Deshaun Watson back in?
Do we take the calls, same calls on the same show?
I do not think anybody will be arguing for Deshaun Watson if Jameis is putting up numbers.
Do you not see your mentions during every single time you dare criticize the quarterback?
I think those people will move right over to supporting Jameis Winston.
I hope you're right. I would agree with you. I just don't know if it's going to go that way, especially with what is left on that contract. And because the more games you win, the further away you are from those top three quarterbacks that we've talked about
so
many times.
Damage to your draft prospects.
So all of a sudden, it might seem more okay that you try to run this back with a guy who's had season-ending injuries over the last 2 years and is definitely not in the right headspace to be a starting quarterback for this football team. But, yeah, that contract will talk you into doing some silly things and making some silly decisions.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Ralava?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.